But if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read it in Khmer. The Cambodian language, we call it Khmer. Can you all say Khmer? Okay, good. Very good. And nothing I have to tell you. Now, my name is spelled Touch, and the last name is K-E-O, and most people call me Touch Keel, but I got to tell you how you say it in Cambodia, okay? It's Tu Gao. If you listen to the video, the people call me Pastor Gao, and Tu, it means small, because when I was born, I was 1 kilogram, and now fat and big, amen? And so the name Tu means small, and Gao means glass. It's a second most common name, last name in Cambodia. It's like Johnson or Jackson here in America. But okay, let me, I just want to tell you guys that. I was, like I shared with you, my family, we escaped the war in Cambodia. We got to America in 1981. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I got saved. I'm thankful for a church there, Pinecrest Baptist Church, that reached out into the refugees. And a friend of mine invited me to church. And in 1988, I got saved. But before that, God used many American Christians to reach out to my family. So I don't have time to share that. But I'll just want to tell you guys a little bit about that. But you have your Bible in Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to read in Khmer. We are so grateful that we get to serve God. Amen. And one of my messages I preach from different churches. And I really wish, I'm asking God, before I die, there will be a revival in America. We definitely a revival in America, amen? And I love this country. I owe a debt. Of course, we're all debtor to God, but first of all, we owe a debt to the people that help us to know God. Let me, I got two Bibles with me. Mark chapter 1. Okay. Verse 16 to 20. I'm going to talk about discipleship and mission. Okay, and I'm thankful that the people that my family invested in, they're still serving God, and some of the young people. Even there's a Brabuna, Samantha, and a couple other. That some of our bus kids, some of the teenagers we work with, Pastor, that went to the mission field with us. And a couple of them are still part of our team. And we are so grateful. God is so merciful, so good to us. And I'm so grateful for that. But let's read our Bible. We'll get started. Talk about being disciple, okay? And I want to challenge you and encourage you. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Okay? Let's read verse 16.
កាលព្រះយេស៊ូវកំពុងតែយាងទៅតាមឆ្នេរសមុទ្រកាលីលេនោះទ្រង់ទតឃើញស៊ីម៉ូននិងអង់ទ្រេជាប្អូនកំពុងតែទម្លាក់អួនក្នុងសមុទ្របាត់គេជាអ្នកនេសាទត្រីទ្រង់មានបន្ទូលហៅថាចូលមកតាមខ្ញុំខ្ញុំនឹងតាំងឲ្យអ្នកនេសាទមនុស្សវិញគេក៏ទុកអួនចោលហើយដើរតាម ត្រង់ជាមួយរំពេចទៅលុះត្រង់យាងហួសពីនោះបន្តិចក៏ទួតឃើញយ៉ាកបជាកូនសេបេដេនិងយ៉ូហានជាប្អូននៅក្នុងទូកកំពុងតែជួសជុលអួនហើយត្រង់មានបន្ទូលហៅគេមកភ្លាមគេក៏លះចោលសេបេដេជាឪពុកនៅក្នុងទូកជាមួយនឹងពួកជើងឈ្នួលរួចដើរតាមត្រង់ទៅ
You guys can understand that, amen? Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Let me read one more passage. Luke chapter 9. You can follow along with me silently. And this time I'll read in English, amen? And just get going. Verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his father and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I'm sorry, let me read one more passage, verse 57 to 62. All talk about being a disciple, discipleship. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful morning. Thank you so much for Pastor Miller, his family, his wife, and the people here, Lord, at Foothill Baptist Church. Thank you so much for just opportunity and the privilege of serving you, Father. And we love you, Lord. You are so good to us. I pray that, Lord, after the service is over, I pray that we leave here more like you, Lord Jesus. Help us to be better than when we came in this morning. And Lord, help me. I pray your Holy Spirit will lead and guide me. Help me to speak the thing that is pleasing to you, Father. And thank you so much, Father, for your love, for our Lord Jesus, dying on the cross for our sin, forgiving us of our sin and saving our soul, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, thank you. And let me put my Khmer Bible away. I just wanted you guys to have opportunity to hear in the Khmer language. But I just want to talk to you this morning about discipleship. Are you a follower of Jesus? Okay. And, let me make three introductory statements. Okay. Of course, the Bible teaches that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we should have that same desire, the same heart, same desire like our Lord Jesus. You know, our Lord Jesus, God does not want anybody to die and spend eternity in hell. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if they're Cambodian, American, Hispanic, Mexican, Vietnam, Laotian, Thailand. Doesn't matter where you're from. God loved all people the same. Okay, God loved the whole world. And but first of all, I want to share with you, God desired that all lost people were repentant of sin and believe the gospel. Or God want all people to be saved. God is not willing that anybody would die and perish. Okay, that's not God's will. And we don't believe in, you know, God sending, choosing some people to go to heaven, choosing some to go to hell. We don't believe that. God want all people to be saved. Amen. Amen. God desires to be all people. Doesn't matter who you are. And I'm thankful for that. Okay, being in Cambodia 5 years, you know, I witnessed to Muslim people, Cambodian. I even had opportunity to witness to men that used to serve in the communist, used to be communist soldier. These are the people that kill their own people. Okay, people that my father was executed by the communists. My sister died because of the war in Cambodia. Even my youngest brother. But you know, because of God's grace, you know, if I don't know Jesus, I can never talk like that. You know how God changed my heart, my life. You know, I go from being a bitter, angry young person at a communist, at the world, to even witness to people that kill their own people, that kill my family. Isn't God good? Amen. You know, of course God does not. I think about between 1975 and 1979. I think about around 2 million people, Cambodian people, were killed by the communist regime in 4 years, okay? Now, God did not want all those people to die, but because of the war, The war there in Southeast Asia, and our government, United States government, opened the door for immigrants, for refugees to come to this country. And my family was part of that. And coming to this country, I got saved, been trained, and amazing, God called us back to our people. Wow. I tell you what, if I don't know Jesus, I could never go back to Cambodia. Could never go back. But it's all because of God. You see how good God is, friend? You know, he loved those people that die more than you and I do. But God turned something evil into good. Because of the war, God allowed many, many, many people, many Cambodian, Vietnam, okay, Laotian, come to America. And come to America, give us opportunities to hear the gospel preach. And many had gotten saved. And I'm thankful that God called us back, my family, to go back. First of all, I want to share with you just an introductory statement. God desired that all lost people will be saved, will repent of their sin and believe the gospel. Okay? God does not want anybody to die and go to hell. I am so thankful for that. So thankful. So many times I could tell you our lives were in peril, we came close to death. So many times. Okay? So many times in Cambodia, so many times I almost died of starvation. I could tell you so many times, so many things that happened. I remember as a little boy, 8, 9 years old. Okay, so many times I could tell you all the thing that we eat during the wartime. You probably won't eat able to eat lunch if I tell you everything. Amen. So I'll hold back. Amen. But so many times. But I first of all, I want to share with you, God desired that all lost people would be saved. He does not want anybody to die, to perish and spend eternity in hell, friend. Doesn't matter who they are. People in America, you know, in America you have all nationality. And it's sometimes I pray to God if more and more people would get saved and would answer the call and think about, they can do so much if people that from other countries would go back to their people. They could do so much and help their people. Because people like myself, I know I got some American in me, but I know the Cambodian culture. I know a little bit of the language that helped me, you know. But let me go on. But not only God desired that all lost people would be saved, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay. And number two, God desired that all saved people will become follower of Jesus or disciple. I love that term, disciple, disciple of Jesus. A disciple is a follower of Jesus, okay, who want to live for God. Okay, God not only desire that we get saved, but the next step, God wants those that are saved to be his disciple, to follow Jesus, to live for him, to give your life for him. Okay, when God called Andrew, Peter, they immediately forsook everything. And let me explain this part a little bit. I remember when I first got saved. Now, let me backtrack a little bit. A lot of Cambodians, when we came to America, we lie about age. And on my license, it says 1973. Actually, it's 1970. Yeah, I was born 1970. And the reason a lot of Cambodians lie about the age for education, because we were very small and tiny. So if you put down my real age, 1981, I'd be 11. I'd be very small, wouldn't get to learn much. So my mom lied about our age, 3 years younger. So I am a lot older than what I said in my license. Amen. But go back to that. I came to America, and when we first got to America, I think I remember churches that reached out to refugees. Okay, I'm not going to get into politics. I don't know what you feel about refugees, and that's between you and God. I'm not going to get into that, okay? But I my family escaped the war in Cambodia and came to America as refugees. And when we got here, you know, God used, you know, different organizations, even churches, sponsored refugees. When we got here, you know, we didn't know anybody. I was frightened to death, you know. I never seen white people in my life, so I was scared to death, amen? Came to America. First time I saw a Caucasian couple in the Philippines, I stared at them like 15 minutes. I kept looking at myself. I kept looking at them. Hey, why you guys are so fair? I mean, you're so complex, so different from mine, you know. But I came to America, was scared. But the thing that helped my mom, my brother, myself, I remember Christian here in America reaching out to my family. I remember even a gentleman who would come to our apartment complex. You think about, you know, all these Asian kids running around with lice, everything. Some of wear girl clothes, we didn't even realize it, okay? And there'd be churches would come to our apartment complex, take us to church, give us a candy, give us gifts during Christmas. And, you know, I didn't understand English in the beginning. But as I got older, I realized why they did all that for us. First of all, they love God, they love Jesus. And because of their love for God, they love other people. I never forgot that. And as I got older, God started working my heart. And then when I got turned 14, 15 years old, I was, you know, you got to remember, I was growing up, I kept long hair, wanted to be a gangster. I hated life. Okay, I was a loner. My classmate called me antisocial. Didn't want to talk to anybody. I was just, that was me, myself, as a teenager. But God started working in my heart. And I remember I would look in the sky and say, God, if you really up there, help me. I remember saying that prayer 2 times, and I was not saved yet. I did not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But in my heart, I knew there's a God up there. And the book of Romans tells us that. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. No one have excuses, friend. Everybody know there's a God in the heart. Because God revealed himself. God make us aware of him. Okay? Nobody's born atheist, okay? Trust me. I as a teenager, I knew that. I knew that God is up there. But God used Christian here in America to reach and take me to church. And I heard the gospel, and I got saved. But to say all that and to make a long story short, I don't want to tell you the whole story. It takes hours, okay? But when I first got saved, 1988, January 30th, I got excited, and nobody had to force me, hey, make me go to church. I immediately told my first pastor, John Cobble, you know what, from this day on, I'll be in church. But I will tell you, when my main motivation was going to church, my first year, I was saved, but I did not go to church for a good reason. I like a girl in the church. That was my motivation going to the church every Sunday. Okay, so what I want to say is that when I first got saved, I was a saved person, I was a Christian, but I was not a disciple of Jesus. I did not obey him, okay? And my motivation going to church was, you know, I liked that girl in the church. And my life was up and down. Sometimes I would go 2 weeks without reading my Bible. Sometimes even longer. Never witness, hardly ever read my Bible, hardly ever pray. But I remember, and I backslid even for a little bit. But when I remember God dealt with me, and God spoke to my heart. And God said, you have to decide. Either me, Jesus, God, the center of your life, or another human being. And I came at a point in my life and said, you know, God, I want to give my life to you. Amen. I want to follow you. And that's what a disciple is. You know, and let me share with you this. All introduction, don't worry, I'll be done on time. But you know that the Bible in the New Testament mentioned being a disciple or disciples about 296 times. The word Christian only mentioned 3 times. Because God desires when we get saved, God doesn't just want us to be happy being saved and just sitting in church and not doing anything, and just hearing the preaching. That's not it. God desires for us to be followers of Jesus. God desires when we get saved that we live in obedience to him, okay, obeying God. And that's what a disciple is, living your life for God. And I'm glad I never regret for one moment that I gave my life to God back in 1990. Not for one moment. It's good to be a follower of Jesus. Amen. It's good to live your life for him. I wouldn't trade for any other. I would not. Okay? Even though I love traveling in America, I love this country. The plentifulness in this country, so much is thrashing in America. I'll be honest, sometimes it's a lot easier to live in Cambodia in a poor country for God where you don't have much. But so much is thrashing. I want to warn you, you have to be really careful here in America. Okay? But I made a decision to be a follower of Jesus back in 1990. I decided, God, I want to give my life to you. I am not happy just going to church. I want to obey you. I want to spend time with you. I want to get to know you. Okay? And that's what a disciple is. Let me go on. That's why God called his disciple, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Okay? And friend, I want to challenge you this morning. Are you just a saved person or are you a disciple of Jesus? Okay? And not only that, the other introductory statement I want to share with you, not only God desired that all saved people would become a disciple of Jesus, God commands all disciples to make disciples. Okay? God commands that. Now, being in the mission field this last 5 years, I understood this even more. Okay? Before, you know, I got to share with you, my wife and I, we started public school ministry in our church. Those young people that I sent to pastor, some of them are still serving God. I'm grateful for that. A couple of them on staff with the church pastor, a couple of missionaries on the mission field. I am so grateful for that. I remember when those bus kids I had, the public school kids, teenager, I mean, I spent time with them, but a lot of time I just spent time with them. I taught them from time to time. But I didn't realize I was discipling them, okay? But I did spend time with them. I taught them, trying to influence them for God, trying to influence them to follow Jesus. And that's what making a disciple is. And friend, that's what God calls to be, to make disciple. You know, physically speaking, you don't see a lady who give birth to a baby and just leave the baby on his own. The mom, that motherly love, she take care of that baby, nurture that baby so the baby can grow up. And same way as Christian friend, if anything I could challenge you with, and being in Cambodia, let me tell you this. I disciple from anywhere from 15 to 25 people, personally disciple them, not beside churches. Now, we have midweek service, Sunday service, but beside having church service, I personally disciple, like on Thursday, one of our village church, we have service, midweek service on Thursday, just like your church. And I would disciple three couples, and I would go to their place 1 hour each time. Okay? I spend 1 hour with one couple, then I would go to another couple. Okay? And the village church, I would travel an hour and a half on motorcycle. Okay? Every Thursday. Then Saturday, we would have a men accountability group. I would meet with 10 faithful men, and we would pray together. Okay? We would spend time praying. We spend time sharing from the Word of God, what God has speaking, how God is working in our hearts. And we would share that, and I would spend some time teaching them also. So every Saturday, I would do that, about 9, 10 men, men accountability group. Then Saturday morning, I disciple one man. His name is Pun. He's in his early 60s. Every time I disciple him, he would invite his grandkids, his children. Sometimes I have 10 people sitting with him or 15 people. So I would teach all of them. And I love it, friend. I love it. If anything, I can encourage you, friend. You know, of course, God called us, command us to win soul, but not just to win soul, but to make disciples, to help people, to influence people to follow Jesus. Somebody invested in me. I'm thankful for that. God used so many Christians in America to invest in my life. I'm thankful for that. And now I am saying I'm a missionary. Not only I started doing it as a missionary, but I've been doing it as a bus captain, being a layman at our church. My wife and I have been invested in many young people. But I want to encourage, God commands all Christians, all disciples, to make disciples. That's what Matthew 28 teaches us, okay, to make disciples. And I want to encourage you that. Okay? You don't, like I said, a mom don't give birth to a baby and just leave the baby on his own. In the same way, if we help somebody get saved, we don't leave that person on their own and just, okay, you just go to church. No, I would encourage you, every week, my family, we invest in people. We invite people in the home, and we go out, we spend time with people, help them to grow in grace. And I'm so glad for, you know, people, some of you that house people. I appreciate that. That is hospitality. That's part of discipleship. That is so good. Okay. But let me go on. Okay. But I want to encourage you. Okay. I got this statement that said, it's not our responsibility to make people Christian, but rather to help people decide to follow Jesus and to follow Jesus and his radical message. Okay. And this is why the New Testament writers only use Christian 3 times, but use disciple 269 times. Use the word disciple, okay? But I want to challenge you this morning. I have a long way to go, but don't worry, okay? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower? God, Jesus called out to these men, and they dropped everything right away, okay? Now, as a young Christian, I struggle. I struggle giving my life to God when I first got saved. But, you know, you got to remember, I came from a poor country. I used to have that American dream. I said, God, I didn't say God, I'm sorry, but this is why I got saved. I said, you know what? I want to live the American dream. I want that house. I want that house by the lake. I want a motorcycle, a boat, and I want a yard with palm tree lining up. That was my dream house, amen? I can still picture it, amen? But that's why I got saved. Okay, I'm not saying that. There's nothing wrong with you. Have a nice house. God gives it to you. I'm happy for you, amen. That's not sinful, okay? But I'm just sharing with you what my dream was, my American dream. This is before I got saved, okay? Now, after I got saved, before I got saved, I wanted to be a gangster. But after I got saved and God started working my heart, I said, God, it's no longer about me. And that's why that verse teaches in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Okay, he said to them all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Okay, forget about self. Don't live for self. Don't live for self and take up the cross daily. Okay, give your life to God daily. Whatever God's will for your life is, be willing to suffer if you have to. Take up your cross daily. Okay, God said every single day. And that's why that prayer in the Bible, Thy kingdom come. You know what that prayer means? Thy kingdom come. It's not just praying that Jesus will come back quickly and reign and rule. But also that prayer, what it means is that you asking God to be the king in your heart. God, you be the king in your heart, in my heart today. And that's a daily prayer. Every time you and I pray, we need to give our life to God. And ask God to help us to live for him that day, today. Because you guys, man, more and more, the older I get, the more I know God, I realize what Apostle Paul means. The thing that he should do, you know, I can't even quote it right, but so hard, brother. The thing he should do, he can't do it, or the thing that I don't want to do. I'm all messed up right now. I don't know. My mind was at. But, this is Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians ever lived. He said the thing that he should do, don't want to do it. Okay? Because, you know, without God's power, you and I cannot live for God without God's power. We need God in our life. We need God to help us. It's not easy living the Christian life, friend. It's not easy at all. It's not easy to be a disciple. It takes hard work. Okay? Not easy at all. It's like climbing a mountain. Okay, I climb like maybe half a mile, I'm about to die, amen. I climb Stone Mountain in Georgia. Yeah, you guys ever been to Georgia? Stone Mountain is a very popular mountain in Georgia. Man, I'm about to die. But Christian life, but with God's help, with God's power, you and I can do it. You see all the world distraction, everything, especially in America, I'd be honest with you. More and more I agree with some missionary. sometimes, many times, I'll be honest, it can be much, much harder to live for God in America. And I'll tell you why. Because you got the richness here in America. And you can lose sight of God. You got so much, and you can forget about trusting in God. You know, I learned more about faith in the last 5 years, even from my own people, from my former Muslim, than I learned the first 20 years I got saved, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes our people there in Cambodia put us missionaries, myself, to shame, I'll be honest, because of their faith in God. I have seen people that they decided to follow God, they lost inheritance, got kicked out their village. One of our ladies, her husband divorced her. Okay, she lost her land, her house. I know grandma. You have a prayer letter with Grandma Long. Her own children, kick her out. Wanted to kick her out of her own house. This is a lady, 89 years old. You know why? Because she wanted to follow Jesus. Because of her faith in God. And her children said, if you keep going to church, believing Jesus, we don't stay in this house, even though that land belonged to her. And she told her children, I can't do that. Jesus is God. I can't turn my back on Jesus. This is a lady is 89 years old, and she just passed away 3 months ago. My friend, you tell me, what faith? I can tell you about Jan Nguyen. Just last week, I got words that Jan Nguyen, a young lady, is 20 years old. She's 19 last year, she's probably 20 now. She work in a factory. She make less than $100 a month, 12, 13 hours a day, 6 days a week. She got saved, started going to church, and she wanted to serve God. The only day she have off is Sunday. And she every Sunday, she's in church. She loved God. And her mom saw that the daughter is believing Jesus, living for Jesus, really got her angry. She threatened Jan Nguyen many times, if you're going to keep going to church, I'm not going to give you food to eat. But you know what Jan Nguyen said? She said, Mom, you don't give me food, that's fine with me. But I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus. Just amazing. These are people in the village. They don't have much, friend. Their house is built on steel. Okay. Jan Nguyen is 20 years old. I don't have a picture of her. But she's a young lady, her father prayed for her. Her father just passed away last week, 48 years old, from a heart attack. But she's in church every week, disciple of Jesus. Probably this evening I will continue, because in Cambodia, I'm sure probably passed the same way. When we preach a title topic, we preach a series, and I probably continue on the cost of discipleship. And I want to encourage you, God not only desire that all saved people become disciples, but God commands all disciples to make disciples. I want to encourage you, invest in somebody, okay? Somebody invested in me. American Christian invested in me. That's why I'm here today. Arthur L. Hammond, he was wasn't even a Baptist missionary, but he was the first American missionary that went to Cambodia in 1922. You know how long it took him to get to Cambodia? He had to stop in Vietnam first, but back then, Southeast Asia was known as Indochina. It took him 1 year just to get to Cambodia. He was the first American missionary out of Nyack, New York, to go to Cambodia as a missionary. Disciple. But God commands all disciples to make disciples. But let me share with this. I think my time is out. Give me a couple minutes, Pastor. And I just want to share this last point. Last few points. Characteristic of a disciple. And I want you to, okay, what is a disciple? Characteristic of a disciple. A disciple desires to spend time with their Lord or with their master, with Jesus. If you're a disciple of Jesus, if you're a true disciple, okay, let me go back to the statement. I heard a friend of mine say this statement, and it's true. Not all Christians are disciples. But not all saved people are disciples, but all disciples of Jesus, all true disciples are saved people. Okay, think about that for a minute. But let me, characteristic of a disciple. A disciple desires to spend time with Jesus. What did the Peter, James, John, they drop everything. They follow Jesus. They want to spend time with God. Okay, spending time with God. A disciple desires to spend time with Jesus. Do you have the desire? When God started working in my heart, I gave my life to God. And I was in high school. I would take my Bible back then was even bigger than this one. I would take my Bible every day with me to public school. Okay. Now, I didn't read it every day, but every time, well, almost every time, during PE class, my favorite class, amen, physical education, sport, that was it. Sport, I was all about sport. PE class, I would read my Bible, take it out, because I wanted to be followed with Jesus. I want to spend time with God. Okay. A disciple, not only that, a disciple desires to learn all things from Jesus. Learn all things. A true disciple. You know what? If you and I are true disciple, we don't get to pick and choose. Okay? We don't say, God, okay, I'll learn about being a father, but I won't learn to love unconditionally. Okay? I'll learn to do this, but I can't love all people. You know, Jesus loved all people, friend. Okay? Jesus loved all people. Learn to love people like Jesus loved, friend. You know, even in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus went through a Samaritan village and they did not welcome him, James and John said, Jesus, you want us to call fire down from heaven? Jesus said, that's not a godly spirit. Don't have that attitude. If people are not open to you, people don't listen to you when you witness them and you want them to die and go to hell, don't have that spirit. Always have that loving and compassionate spirit, friend. I don't tell you this to feel sorry, but even 2012, I came about a kilometer away of being killed by the Muslim. But I guess it wasn't my time to go yet. God spared my life. Okay. I'm thankful that we have a church that reached out to Muslim. But let me go on. A disciple desires to learn all things from Jesus, everything. Learn to love people like Jesus. Learn everything. Learn to be hospitable. Learn to have that gracious word. You know, even the Pharisee said, no one speak like Jesus. No one talk like Jesus. In John chapter 7 or Luke chapter 7, no one. You know, when our Lord Jesus speak, even his enemy, they were amazed at his kind words. Okay, a disciple desire to learn all things from Jesus. Not only that, a disciple desire to be like Jesus. Do you have a desire to be like Jesus today, this morning, friend? Okay. You know, I wish I could be a soul winner like Jesus. Amen. We're talking about soul winner. We think Apostle Paul is great, and he was great. Okay, Peter, great preacher, but our Lord Jesus, wow. When our Lord Jesus witnessed, you know, people just, they listened, because they knew that he loved them, he cared about them. The Samaritan woman, Nicodemus, okay. A disciple desired to be like Jesus. My friend, I want to challenge you, do you have a desire to be like Jesus this morning? You know, because I saw Jesus in the American Christian that worked with me, that's why my heart was open to God. My heart is open to God. You know, I want to encourage you at your workplace, even your neighborhood, you might be the only Jesus they see. Okay? Might be the only Bible they ever know. Do people see Jesus in you, friend? No, lastly, I want to share with this. A disciple trusts in the leadership of their master to lead them in the right way. You know, a disciple, when the disciple decided to give everything to follow Jesus, they didn't worry about, Jesus, where are you taking us? They wasn't concerned about that. They followed Jesus. And I totally forgot when talk about family, thing like that. I remember when God called me, when I gave my life to God, started serving God, bus ministry, soul winning, discipling other people. Then God opened the door for me to move from Georgia to California. When you talk about different culture, that's a different world right there, amen. You ever been to California? But because I gave my life to God, I said, God, I'll follow you wherever I go. I had to leave my mom. I had to leave my brother who was not saved. But because God called me, because I want to follow Jesus. And when I moved to California, that's when I started working with Cambodian people. I met my wife there. I was a bus captain. I even worked with a gangster. You know, at one time, I desired to be a gangster. You know, God is humorous sometimes. The first group of people I worked with was a gangster kid. This kid had guns, shaved their head, dressed baggy, their pants. They wear a size 28, but they wear a size 42. They took 5 steps, and their pants don't go nowhere, amen? I guess that's not the style anymore, but back then it was. Back then it was, those baggy pants. But God is humor sometimes. But you know, because I totally forgot I want to line up this message with when I decided to follow Jesus. Wherever Jesus, God led me, I did that. And this past 5 years, it started in 2008 when our pastor, he had a vision of sending people from Southeast Asia back to the country. And I knew that, well, this is a door of opportunity for my family. But I will tell you, when back in the early 90s, when God first called me to work with Cambodian people, I did not jump up and down right away. Okay. I was looking sideways. I said, God, why don't you call him, my friend over here? Okay, I was trying to make excuses. And I was thinking about the communist soldier that killed my father, my sister, my brother. The only thing when God started working my heart to go to Cambodia, I jumped up and down and went, no. It took me a while. God convinced me, though. And because I want to follow God, I want to be his disciple, I would go wherever he sent me. Friend, you know, I found out sometimes the best people that can go back to, I don't know how to put this. My English is all messed up too sometimes. But some of the best people reach their people, something like that. What I'm trying to say is, because I'm Cambodian, I came from that country, I can best give my life to God, but best help my people, because I'm one of them. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Okay. God allowed many people from other countries to come to America for a reason. Okay. When I'm saved, God called, opened the door for my family to go back. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. I wouldn't trade this life for anything, friend. Trust me. Would not. Now, as much as I love to visit churches, you ask my family, I look forward to going back and working with the people. Witnessing, teaching, going to villages. I go to the village 4 days a week. Out of our team there, I go to the village the most. Sometimes I take my family once in a while with me. But I want to encourage you. I close my note. I want to encourage you. Are you a disciple? Are you a follower of Jesus? Not just being a Christian, being saved. And I want to remind you, you know, the word Christian only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. But disciple and disciples or disciples, 296 times. Because God desired not just for us to be saved, but for us to follow him, to live for him. Let's close our eyes. Bow our head and close our eyes. I pray and I hand it over to Pastor. Thank you so much. Then I went over, Pastor. Sorry, I apologize for that. Father, Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for your word, Father. I pray you speak to hearts. And thank you so much for just loving me and using me, Father. I pray your will be done in Christ's name.